Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh. Get yourself $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a man with black eyes vanishes from sight in a rearview mirror. Voices get louder and louder until a young woman heeds their warnings. And a move from Texas to Louisiana turns into the most haunting time of a woman's life. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online. You can share your story by writing in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want all the bonus stuff, all of the extra episodes, EPP bonus episodes, new ones every single week, you go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up to be an EPP, or you can do it through Patreon. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. You also get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go out to the public. So do check that out and help keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi there.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm raspy because I have the flu.
We're all talking raspy today on Real Ghost Stories
Online. It's not on purpose. It's just how my voice is today.
People are going to be like, that's not really Jenny over there.
No, it totally is.
You know, you said that she's back, but that doesn't sound like Jenny. It's just another Jenny. There's a lot of Jennies in this world. You found a different Jenny, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just a different Jenny.
Just a different Jenny. We just interchange Jennies on the program. That's all. So, yeah, there you go. You enjoy sounding raspy?
Yeah.
I need you to record some commercials this week. I'll just have you... Like, well, she can only do it when she sounds ill to produce that sound in your voice. I'm starting to, I've been sitting here like kind of getting it for the last week, but like it's felt like the eternal day of like, oh, I'm getting a cold tomorrow, getting it tomorrow. And tomorrow has never come.
Yeah.
Although today it's like the next day.
You know, we've lucked out the past few years, you know, not getting the flu. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get our flu shots, but we haven't actually gotten it. And this time we all got it. And at least they say that it's not as bad as it would have been.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's knocked me on my butt this week.
Try not to think about what might have been.
Okay.
Because that was then.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the flu shot.
Okay.
Name the artist.
No.
You don't know the...
I know the lyrics, but I cannot tell you what song it is right now.
Little Texas.
Oh.
What Might Have Been.
That's a sad song.
It is. It's a really depressing song. It's one of the most depressing country songs, I think, ever. Well, at least modern.
Yeah.
The ones that have ever been made. There you go. Just be happy I'm not breaking into R. Kelly on today's episode of the show. Did that the other day. And I said this earlier, and it's fairly horrible, but I said to... What, you're shaking your head? No, I shouldn't. Why?
You're going to do it anyway. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and my concern was, obviously, you know, I make light of dark things because that seems to be half the way, you know, to you know, kind of process what's going on. But yeah, maybe I shouldn't go there. Anyway, the concern is, you know, you make the jokes. We're doing the show weeks in advance of it actually going public. What could happen to an individual between then and between recording and hitting the airwaves?
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. And it's like, well, if that happens, we'll have to go back and edit the show. But, hopefully, I don't know. There's a lot, cause you could say hopefully in almost any direction with someone, alleged to be like that. So I'll leave it. I think everybody kind of gets the gist of what I'm.
Let's just not talk about him. Then you have fewer episodes to mess with.
That's true. I'm just trying to find a way to break into a song of some sort. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Titanic is taking shape. Well, replica of it in China.
Yeah. Are they going to sail it, or is it just supposed to stay stationary like a hotel?
It's a different one.
Oh.
Multiple Titanics in the works.
In China, there's more than one?
There's one in China, and then there's that other guy that's been trying to build one. We'll talk more about the status of the Titanic remix projects coming up.
Okay.
Like that, they should just that's the modern way of saying something's like part two or different. They should call the new Titanic Titanic and then parentheses remix.
No.
That would look really bizarre on the side of a boat. Let's go to our first story. It says, in the summer of 1998, I was 19 years old, and my best friend and I were driving around downtown Nashville, just as all the young kids would do back then. No one had smartphones or Facebook back then, so this was a way to meet guys, girls. So anyway, my friend hollered at two guys in a red Camaro. They motioned for us to follow them to a nearby parking lot. We started to follow them. Several people were walking up and down on 3rd Avenue in Nashville, and there was an another person, an older-looking man with thinning, wispy gray hair, walking next to my 90s model Grand Prix on the sidewalk to the right. I didn't pay much attention to him, quite honestly. He looked just like everyone else. But my friend, Alicia, was looking at him, and he was looking at her. Traffic started to move, and we passed him by. We went about two blocks before we pulled into the lot behind the Camaro. Standing in the far corner was the man from the sidewalk. I'm waiting for us. My headlights shined on him for about 30 seconds as I almost was paralyzed from fear or maybe confusion. I'm not sure, maybe both, but there was no way that he could have beat us there. He was staring at us. He started walking towards my car. We could not look away. He walked completely around my car. I was staring through my windshield at him, and he was looking into our eyes. And then he just walked out of the lot. The man gave us the creeps. We joked about it. The Camaro pulled up beside us to talk, and after a few minutes, they said that they lived only a few miles away and asked if we would like to come out and hang out for a while and get to know each other. We said okay. We got back in the car and started to follow them out of the parking lot. As I pulled out and back onto 3rd Avenue, there was the man. He was on the side of the road, not on the sidewalk, but just a few feet from my passenger door. He fell to his knees with his hands in a praying motion and had this awful look and sad look on his face. It was almost like he was begging, only his eyes, they were completely black. We were terrified and could hardly breathe. As I passed him, I looked in my rearview mirror and he was not there. He was gone. I never saw him again. I was a stupid, naive 19-year-old. We should have gone home right then. But no, we followed these guys to their apartment complex. And once we got there, we hung up for about 30 minutes or so before things took a turn for the worst. The guys started to speak in a different language and were laughing. It just didn't feel right. Alicia and I were looking at each other with concern. Everything had been in English up until that point. They blocked my car in with the other cars. They showed us that they had a gun and called some of their friends to come over. We jumped into the back. Alicia and I jumped back into my car and locked the doors. We're yelling and screaming at them to move his car. I was going to ram it. Other group of guys that had come over was holding a broken beer bottle and were standing beside my window. They were trying to open my car door by pulling the handle. After about 20 minutes of sheer terror, they moved the car that was blocking us in, and I hit it in reverse and went out of that apartment complex. We didn't even really discuss what we had seen the whole way home. It was very silent, a ride down the interstate for the next hour. Alicia and I only spoke a few times over the next few months. It was the end of our friendship as well. Our friendship dissolved within the year. You'd think that something so traumatic would bring you closer, but it didn't. Still terrifies me to this day. I'm now 40 years old and I have chills while I am writing this in. Thank you for listening and for your show. Do you think the creepy guy was connected? Because he almost seems like an omen of some sort that just scared you. It's not like the angelic feature going, don't go there.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, not so much an omen, but more of like a warning. You know, an omen, I guess, could be appropriate because it was, you know, before something bad happened. But I was thinking maybe he's trying to somehow warn them to not follow those guys. Even though he had black eyes and looked really scary himself, I'm kind of thinking maybe that's what the point was.
Just to scare them to go home?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, do you think he was like something that kind of was connected with those guys?
No, I think maybe he was just there at, you know, I won't say right place, right time, but I think he was just almost maybe a protective thing.
I don't want my protective thing to look like that.
Well, would you go straight home if you saw that?
I would think in that situation, it might actually drive the girls closer to the guys, going, protect me from this thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Their first warning should have been he was driving a Camaro. So.
I never had a Camaro, but what's up with the Camaro?
I don't know. It just seemed like, and I apologize to any of our listeners that drive Camaros, but anybody I've ever run into that's driven a Camaro has been a complete jerk and somebody to be avoided.
There you go.
So there.
You know, you had to explain to me the other day, we were talking about when we were teenagers and girls liking guys with cars, like nicer cars.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood this when I was a teenager.
I was not one of those girls, but that's something that most girls like. I mean, it's kind of a status symbol thing.
Yeah, and I never understood what that was all about or why. I went for the reliability cars. I didn't go for the look at me cars. I had a Pontiac Sunbird, which was a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. It was all I could really afford at the time. At that point, I was 16. It was like just something that moves I was happy with. But after that, it was like white Ford Taurus. And then it was a black Ford Taurus for a while. And they were, you know, several years old. And all of them looked like grandpa cars for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out why the girls were like, eh.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things that goes in stages with teenager girls. Yeah. You know, it starts out, they want any guy that's got a car. It doesn't matter what kind of car it is. And then once they get to the age where everybody has a car, then they want the guy that's got the nice car.
Then it changes.
And then once everybody has nicer cars, they want the guy that's got his own place, you know, and it just keeps going on and on and on and it never ends.
Okay. I think that's me just being completely out of sync with human beings and how they, because I didn't understand anything back then. And I still I'm filled in on it now and I go, oh, okay. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
All these years later. There you go. I want to thank our supporters of today's episode. HelloFresh. You've heard me talk about these guys quite a bit. Before you do anything else right now, go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Enter Ghost80 when you get to HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com/Ghost, G-H-O-S-T-80. It's going to get you $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. And let me tell you why HelloFresh is so good. This, of course, is a meal delivery service that they shop, they plan, they deliver step-by-step recipes, pre-measured ingredients right to your doorstep. You can cook, eat, enjoy. Makes it so easy, especially if you're busy, you got kids, and you enjoy having a life or somewhat of a life. and grocery shopping is not one of those things you like as part of your life. HelloFresh can take care of that for you. They make conquering the kitchen super easy with these super simple recipes. Some of my favorite ones recently. This is really fun when the kids liked it. Chicken pineapple quesadillas with pico de gallo and Southwest spice. Chicken and pineapple go great together. And in a quesadilla, it was so, so good. How about figgy balsamic pork? It's with roasted green beans and rosemary potatoes. Oh, that was a good one. Chicken sausage bolognese with zucchini and Parmesan. The list goes on and on. They got something for every single taste, every single, you know, the diet. If you're going for, vegetarian, they got it. Just check it out. There's so many cool things you can check out every single week. Crab cakes over risotto with lemon, chili butter, and spring mix salad. Are you getting hungry yet? That's just some of the offerings you get every single week with HelloFresh. So easy to get done, saves you a ton of time, and the recipes are just awesome. Classic, veggie, family. Option to switch between what you need. If, you know, sometimes one week the kids are going to be home for dinner, the other week they're going to be gone and stuff, you can switch around and get exactly what you need. So check it out for yourself. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. They support this program. Support them. You're not going to regret it. Really good stuff. This is like getting 8 meals for free, guys. $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Check it out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Okay, so Titanic. There's one thing called Titanic 2. And that is that, like, billionaire that supposedly, I think it's been going on for, like, I don't know. I don't have the info on that one in front of me. But that one has been, like, in the works for God knows how long. I think, like, since after the movie was made.
Okay.
And it was like, oh, we're going to do this. We're not going to do this. We're going to do this. We're not going to do this.
Because that's, like, over 20 years now. Okay.
It literally is. And that I think, I mean, it gets like life again and then it goes away. And I've read articles about the guy where it's like, allegedly he's kind of one where he has a lot of grandiose ideas and a lot of them never come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Some do here and there, but, so I don't know what the hell's going on with that one. But that's the one that was supposedly set to actually sail.
Okay.
Okay. This is the one in China that they're building as a complete replica of the ship to scale, but it's like our museum here in town.
So it's landlocked. It's not going to go anywhere.
Landlocked. It's on a like a river mm-hmm. or a bay or a swamp. I don't know what it is. But it's like kind of there mm-hmm. in water. But it is supposed to be like a hotel and museum. So you can go stay on it mm-hmm. like a resort. And this has been in the works now for several years. And it's very difficult to see pictures of it. But some pictures were just tweeted out literally the other day. And it's starting to take some shape. You can tell what it is now. Before it was just kind of this weird, somewhat ship-like looking, you know, metal hulk. But now it's like, oh, this is starting to resemble the shape of the Titanic, at least. It's going to be really interesting when it's done, just to kind of get a feel of what the size of it was.
So are they trying to actually build it in the same manner that the first one was built, or are they just putting it together and then finishing it out to look exactly like Titanic? I mean, are they going through the process of building it the way it was built when it was built in Ireland?
I think there's a little more human rights involved in this one.
Well, I don't mean that. I just mean, is the construction of it more like a building, or is it more like truly a ship?
I don't think it could sail. So I'm assuming it's probably built more like a structure,
mm-hmm.
but I'm looking at pictures of it right now, and it looks like if you were just to look at this, you go, oh, they're building a ship, because it looks like it. I mean, what it's sitting in is like it looks like a dry dock, but I'm assuming that's probably like where it's going to be filled in with water to really give it the appearance.
Yeah,
but it's a structure that I'm sure it's anchored into the ground. But it should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Should you ever want to take that trip to China in some obscure area of it to see the Titanic boat? There's a lot of interesting things in China.
Yeah.
There's cities that nobody lives in that they've constructed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of just like, oh my God, things. So I'm interested to see this thing once it's done. I wonder if it'll be like one of those where it's so like out of the way and nobody goes there, it just sits. That'd be a creepy thing if it sat and then it became abandoned and then there's an abandoned Titanic.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Speaking of Titanic, did you talk about the Christmas tree video?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I have not talked about the Christmas tree. You want to talk about the Christmas tree video? I think I've like alluded to it without like saying the name of the place. But now that we've talked to the person who took the Christmas tree video and said we can talk about it, we can talk about
it. Yeah, she said that that's not a secret. That I think they're kind of promoting that as a way to get more visitors.
But it's like legit. Like the
it's
place
totally
just got ghosts.
Legit.
And we're talking about the Titanic Museum.
Yeah. And so our oldest is friends with the manager's daughter. And so they had a sleepover. And so just out of, you know, casual conversation, I mentioned, you know, that I asked how things were, if, you know, that was something that she believed in before she started working there. And she's like, yeah. But she said, you've got to see this video. And so she showed me on her phone. It's actually security footage at Christmas time, because it's kind of morbid to me that they deck this thing out at Christmas, but they do. So anyway, they had a tree up. Well, something did not like a tree there on the ship, because it showed this. I saw the security footage, and this tree did not just casually fall over. Something slammed this thing straight down with a lot of force, and you could see it right there. There was nothing there, and it just slammed it down, because they went in the next morning and it was down. And so they're like, well, what happened? Went and looked at this footage. It's crazy. It's one of the most compelling ghost videos I think I've ever seen, even though there's no ghost in it.
Where was the tree, like on the grand staircase, or where was it?
I don't believe it was on the grand staircase. It looked like it was maybe outside of the gift shop, you know,
because
the gift shop's kind of right there at the base of the staircase.
Sure.
So it looked like maybe it was right in that general area, but something was pissed about it.
I'll never let go, Jack. Now that's creepy. And they, what was, there was a deal with a plate a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess there was one of the pieces of china from, you know, the ship
yeah.
that's in this case, and it's like a sensor case to where you can't take the lid off and move it or anything. Mm-hmm. This thing in the middle of the night fell off its stand and broke. Yeah, and that's obviously irreplaceable.
Not something you can just go on Amazon and replace.
No, no.
Not a prime item. My God, I wonder what that thing is worth.
What it was worth?
And what it was worth. I mean, there's still obviously value to it because of what it was and where it came from. But yeah, I mean, I can only, like, God.
I know that particular case, they had to have people go in, like it was, you know, she had to go in. It was like an emergency thing, which you wouldn't think working at a museum you would ever have an emergency, but it was an emergency thing, and they had to call the police and do a whole big police report and everything because it was worth a lot of money.
Yeah. How do you get that? I mean, I'm sure like museums have stuff insured, but that'd be an interesting thing. How do you, I guess you would say accident.
It's just really good that there's cameras everywhere so yeah. they can prove that there wasn't somebody in there or somebody did that by accident, cleaning crew. You know, it's 4 in the morning. That's when things go crazy there.
I would assume there'd be security footage of the plate
falling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume so.
I want to have her on the show.
I asked her and she said she's open to it. Okay. So it's just a matter of, I mean, she's the manager, so it's a matter of getting...
No.
Schedules coordinated, but
I think it'd be fun to have her come in here and and talk about that stuff because I have a lot of questions. Yeah, that would just, I wonder how often like insurance agencies have stuff like that where it's a museum, it's a haunted location, something like that, and you gotta like, my experience with filing insurance claims has been like, you know, floods or car accidents or whatnot. And so you got to like have something. It's like, well, how did this happen? You can't just be like, a ghost did it. You know?
I know.
You know, it's like, well, the driver hit me or, you know, it flooded. Like, okay, thank you very much. And then, you know, they fill up. You can't like leave that part blank. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what you, is there like a checkbox, like unknown cause? You know, what, how the hell does that work?
Well, you know, hundreds of thousands of people go through that museum every year.
No.
And so this plate was obviously some place where it's not going to be able to be bumped or knocked over by a child or somebody that's oops, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'd be like one, like, you know, tour, you know accident, you know, asshole tourist or something. Yeah. You know, I'm sure it actually says an asshole tourist, but I just wonder what that is for something like this where it's just,
I don't know,
there's no explaining it. God, that would, if anyone works in the insurance industry and knows how the hell that works, when something like that happens, email me. I'm curious as to what that is, what the logistics of that are. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. My email, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com, if you want to answer that mystery question for us. The letter says, hi, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now. I decided to share my story with you all. My husband recently traveled to LA for work and stayed in the Western, I'm going to screw this up, Bonaventure Hotel. And while he was gone, he would FaceTime me and fall asleep. We would talk a little, turn off the lights, and then leave FaceTime on with the phones on in our nightstand so we could see each other. That sounds weird when I read it, but I swear it's not weird. Honey, we should totally, want me to FaceTime you when we fall asleep?
Like when you're at conventions and
no,
stuff?
No, like just at night when we're sleeping in the same bed together. We'll just FaceTime. In case we're like looking the other direction, I'll put it on my nightstand, you put it on your nightstand so we can still see each other.
That's not what she's talking about.
I know, but that's what I'm talking about, and that'd be really weird.
Yeah, that would be weird. I get the comfort of wanting your, you know, person you're used to sleeping by being able to be right there.
You could experience the snoring from a million miles away.
Yeah, I would mute you in a heartbeat.
It says, the first night he was there, I noticed what looked like a small, slightly glowing, small transparent bowl moving around his room. There were probably 10 of them. I thought it was weird, but mostly because it's an expensive hotel. I thought maybe housekeeping forgot to dust or something. We turned off the lights to go to sleep, and I noticed that I could still see the balls flying around, but I thought nothing of it and went to sleep. The next night we started FaceTime and I noticed there was a ton of these little flying like balls, like 50 or so. They're flying all over, but many of them flew right up to the screen, stayed there for a while, and then flew away. This time I asked my husband if the room was dusty or if there were bugs or something flying around, and he said no. It was very clean. He didn't see any bugs. Huh, I thought. That was strange, but whatever. We turned out the lights to go to sleep. They're very visible, glowing and flying around. I just watched them for several minutes, and I could hear my husband's breathing slowly as he fell asleep. I started to drift off when coming from the phone. I heard whispering. Naturally, I thought my husband was messing with me, so I pretended not to hear it, hoping he would give up, and then maybe I could scare him back. I lied there, waiting and listening, but I realized that I could still hear my husband's breathing, almost a snore, at the same time the whispering was happening. I listened closely, and I could hear two different voices going back and forth. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but the whispers were getting louder and more urgent, like they were having a heated conversation. Several glowing balls were huddling close to the screen, and this went on for several minutes, the way the conversation would. There'd be pauses between what I assume were sentenced. The voices would get louder and quieter. The inflection would change, and the glowing balls stayed near the screen. It was just so mumbled, I couldn't figure out what they were saying. The conversation seemed to die down after about 15 minutes. The balls dissipated and the whispering stopped. I asked my husband when he got home if he was aware of anything going on. I didn't want to scare him while he was there, and he said he slept like a rock, not even waking up to pee. It was just so strange to hear them to hear him breathing in the background and these voices whispering so close to the phone. About a week after he got home, our roommate and I were talking, and I said that she had a weird experience the night before, and she said that she was woken up by someone yelling, "Hey, where's your rings?" right in her ear at around 1 a.m. She woke up startled and felt for her engagement ring on her hand, and it wasn't there. She never takes the ring off, not even to show or put lotion on or anything. She jumped up, turned the lights on, searched around the bedroom for a ring. She even called her fiance, who lives in Canada, crying because she didn't know what happened. She was about to give up. She looked at her pillows, most of which she had thrown around in the room in searching. On the pillow she left on the bed, right in the exact center was her ring. It was really strange. I don't know if maybe my husband brought something back with him and it was messing with our roommate, or what's going on. It's my story. Curious to know what your guys' take is on it.
You know, it's kind of weird. It almost makes you wonder if something did come back with him. But, you know, you gotta wonder though, if there's more than one thing in that hotel room, they're probably gonna either go with you together or they're gonna stay there together. So if one came back, it makes me think the other one did too.
You get like a pack of ghosts that come with you.
Yeah.
That's why I don't steal anything from hotel rooms anymore, like pens or notepads or
yeah.
Demons. Or you yelling at me going, "Why did you take the pen? Do you need another pen?"
I don't yell at you.
I know. You just shame me.
I just make you, you know, think about it. Do you really need that?
You just make me feel emotionally like a small...
Okay.
Small person.
Okay.
For taking a pen.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. I don't think I've ever really taken a pen in a long time from a hotel. You know, that's weird with the... I thought it was interesting. The part that I related to was where the guy's like, "I slept like a rock."
Yeah.
Because I've never slept better than when I sleep in a haunted hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even exaggerating or kidding. The best sleep of my life has been in hotels that have been supposedly haunted, that I was there for a show or something. And I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know. It could very well be like some weird subliminal mental thing in me, you know, where it's like, sleep better so you don't scare yourself. I don't know.
No, they knock you out.
You think I'm being roofied by a ghost?
I think sometimes they can, you know, affect your sleep and make you sleep more if they want to mess with somebody else.
Bottle that shit and sell it.
Right.
That would be better than like NyQuil or mm-hmm. Z-Quil or whatever the hell, or any sleep aid, you know.
Yeah.
You get the ghostly spirit and that'd be great. I'm just thinking of how you could do that.
There's not a way to do that.
You never know. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories.
with us.
I'm out of breath. You wouldn't know that because I had to pause it there for a second because someone was at the door and I ran up there and I had to run outside and I had to run to the backyard. That's where I found them, sitting on a tree stump, staring, singing a song.
Were they sitting on a tree stump?
No.
Okay, because there's tree stumps back there.
But they were in the backyard.
Okay.
They were singing a song.
They were not.
Damn, I thought I could get you on that one.
No.
What song do you think it would have been?
I don't have any idea.
Well, it's an electric company that was marking. If I found an electric person, actually, that was a phone company, wasn't it?
Are you talking about Wichita Lineman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a phone line.
That's a phone line. Damn.
Thanks.
Still on the line.
That's going to be in my head all day.
Next letter, it says, when I was a few months old, my family moved to Texas into a beautiful home in Louisiana. It was out of the country and a few houses were close to us. At first, we were renting it, but the man that owned it later sold it to us because the house went into bankruptcy. There was a baby and a mother. At night, my dad used to watch TV late. Sometimes we would hear, he would hear me cry, or so he thought. So he'd check on me. Seemed to come from the other side of the house, but as soon as he would reach the hall, it would stop. Figuring I was just stopped crying, he'd come out to make sure I was okay, but when he looked closely, there were no sights or signs that I'd been crying. It happened more than once. I was never the one crying. He'd try to sneak into my room, but there were always the same results. Sometimes I'd even be sleeping in my mom's room or not even home. Still always seemed to come from that side of the house. It was a baby crying, a young girl. My room and the hall were a whole different house. It was moved into that location many years ago. A doctor bought the house and added on to it. When I was maybe 3 or 4, my dad started working overseas, and there was only my mom, me, my brother, and my sister, both teenagers. My sister's boyfriend would sometimes stay at our house. My mom moved to me the other side, moved me to the other side of the house in her room because I was terrified to sleep in my room. I always felt that something was watching me. I was also scared of the staircase, which I could see from my door. My mom would offer William to sleep in my room, but he refused. No matter what, he'd sleep on the couch. I loved to draw when I was little. I still do. So that we'd put all of my drawings at the bottom of the closet. One day, I finally told my mom that the reason he wouldn't sleep in my room was that one night he woke up and heard papers being moved. He got up and went into my room and saw papers floating in the air and being tossed to the side as if they were being looked through. Not only that, I had many wind-up toys and a laughing phone that would wind up in the night. A little girl loved to play with my toys. One night, I had a dream that a little girl was my best friend, or that the little girl was my best friend, but no matter what, we would always play by the staircase in my room. She refused to go anywhere else. After a while, my brother and my sister moved out, and there was only me, my mom, the ghost mom, and the ghost daughter, which also seemed to be a young girl. I know there's a mom because one day my mom was going upstairs to clean my brother's room and a lady in a long brown dress was standing on the staircase blocking her way upstairs. Also, one night I woke up to a creaking noise that was coming from my mom's room. When I walked into her room, the rocking chair was rocking back and forth, and when I went to see if the window was open in a case the wind was blowing, it wasn't. And there was an indentation in the chair as if somebody was sitting in it, like the mother was rocking her baby to sleep. When I was in first grade, we moved to Grand Isle, but we would come to the house on the weekend. Since we left, it was never the same. And we would come home no matter what we did. It was cold. We even got a fireplace installed. We come home, it gotten so cold that our plates were cracked and my fish had died. The house had a weird feeling to it. I missed the house, but I, for some reason, couldn't stay in it when I came to visit. I would always go to a friend's house. One night I had a dream. My mom and I were outside and all of a sudden three men came up to us and tried to kill us. They looked like men from a different country. In my dream, our yard was a sugarcane field. Our house was built in what used to be a sugarcane field. The men made a box and it seemed very important to them. Everything was a sugarcane field except for our driveway and a tree. The three men in my dream killed my mom and me and buried the box next to the tree, the one on the side of our driveway. I know what tree it was in real life, but we moved before I ever thought about digging there. My mom and I were talking one day, and all of a sudden she said that one night she woke up to what seemed to be a horrible fight. I came from the other side of the house, yet it seemed like it was happening right in front of her. From what she remembers, the three men were yelling and screaming, killing the mother and daughter, just like in my dream, except it wasn't my mom and I. Whatever the men were screaming in their language was mostly what we heard. She pictured three men I had never spoken to her about the dream I had before of these men. People that came to our house would hear whispering, see shadows. They would also hear toys being played with. They all said it was coming from my room or the staircase. They knew the house was haunted, but they were making up stories. How would they know things actually happened in my room? At first, my mom and I thought they were just two innocent little ghosts, but our minds were changed. As soon as my mom got the idea to get the house blessed and look up the history of the house, our lives were turned upside down. We were forced by my dad to sell the house, and many other things went wrong. When my mom and I thought about everything that had happened over the years, we began to realize maybe we were wrong about the ghosts all along. Were they ever really nice? There's always bugs and snakes in and around the house no matter what. No matter what, it was cold. Nobody wanted to stay. We moved out, refusing to ever come back. Everybody except for me and my mom. Doesn't it just seem a little weird that there were a mother and daughter ghost and my mom and I were the longest people to stay in the house? We finally moved and our lives seemed so much better, even though it was a beautiful house. I'll never live in one like it again. My mom and I have found a nice little town in southern Louisiana. We're just fine without the nice fancy house. I guess money really can't buy you happiness.
So I'm fascinated by it. Seems like the ghosts were confined to the original part of the house, not the add-on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm betting something obviously bad happened in that old house, since the mom and the daughter both had that dream.
What I'm wondering is, because you know, they're kind of questioning, well, what were these ever like nice ghosts and they were mm-hmm. just kind of being there? Or was it something darker that was kind of taking on and projecting these fearful, horrible situations and scenarios?
It could
of
be.
Of murder.
You yeah. know,
or was it literally the ghosts of these mom and daughter projecting the scenario of murder that they went through
mm-hmm.
to get their story told? I don't know.
That's really hard to know. But the way it acted when it, you know, the way the ghost acted when they tried to cleanse the house kind of makes me think it's not something good because it didn't go peacefully, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to really say exactly what it was.
I don't think we will ever really know for sure exactly what was going on with that house. But creepy story.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. We were talking about the Titanic earlier, and here's another interesting ghost ship story that it's been around for a while. Been around more so as like legend,
okay,
if you will. But recently released secret CIA memos, just because it over time, you know, stuff becomes declassified, mm-hmm. has actually now come to confirm these messed up stories. And I say messed up because it was more like scary. Okay. Like that's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
To be legit, there was a boat. Let's see here. The SS Orang Medan. I mean, I could be saying it wrong. But the gist of what happens is it was a ghost ship at sea. They got SOS calls. I believe there's even some tapes of the SOS calls. This happened in, I believe, 1954, if I'm right on that. 54, 56, somewhere around there. Anyway, the SOS calls, officers, all officers, including the captain, are dead, lying in the chart room and bridge. Possibly the whole crew dead. I die. Last message received off of the ship. When they got to this vessel, it was pretty much a nightmare. The entire ship was littered with corpses, all with bulging eyes, terrified expressions on their face. Their mouths were wide open as if they were in the middle of screaming, and their arms were outstretched as if reaching for something. Make it even more bizarre, the crew appeared to show no signs of any injuries that have even caused their death. More like heart attack or something that just, you know, freaked the hell out of them. But what's been released now, it says, yeah, this is how we found them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's not a new story per se, but it's a new a new chapter in it. Just kind of confirming like, oh, shit, that's messed up. I don't know what the vessel actually was used for. It looks like some sort of just a shipping, I think probably a private vessel of some sort. It doesn't look military-ish in style. But God, that's just a creepy one, you know, to look back on. And I remember hearing, I think, that story years ago on Art Bell's show.
Yeah.
There it is. More confirmation of, I don't know. Do you believe in sea monsters or creatures, or kind of like, I think there's Bigfoot on the land. Do you think there's anything out there in the ocean that's we don't know about yet?
Sure.
Big space, obviously. I know they're still finding stuff, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's depths of the ocean that have never been explored before. So who knows what's there? You know, I mean, it's just, there's such a vast space. I mean, and they're all the time finding fish that they thought were extinct that aren't extinct. And so who knows what's down there? And I know there's, you know, aren't giant squid a true thing?
There's fossils of them. And there are giant ones.
Yeah.
There's fossils of some that they found in areas that are much larger than any living ones that they know. I mean, there certainly are some ginormous living ones, but some of the fossils are like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Big. Just, you know, unfathomable almost, but at obviously one time lived. Mm-hmm. So you have to wonder, like, are some of those things out there still?
Yeah.
That, you know, because what would cause something like that? That's just...
I have no idea.
Yeah. You know, at sea. It's just, I don't know. I'm fascinated by that one. So, interesting story. 855-853-4802 is our number. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Get access to all the bonus episodes of the show at ghostpodcast.com, or you can sign up through Patreon. And that way, you can get all the bonus stuff, too, if you like Patreon. Link is there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.